back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in my favorite location in downtown Baltimore, sort of the home of Baltimore Positive, the home away from home. I keep saying at some point this is going to be the last time we're here. It has been here, and I can see right since 1782, it says right outside, the world-famous Lexington Market. We're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube. We have new sponsors around here, a new season, and the same old friends. It is our 10th anniversary as a flagship for Coppin State University. I wore my band, the Eagles, belt today. I'll get that in here. Dr. Anthony Jenkins down, as well as head coach Larry Stewart. Stu is here. I did not know that this early in the morning. I woke up, my back hurt. I saw Dr. Steve at Elliott Chiropractic. I came in here, I was feeling bad about myself. The Orioles lost last night. And then mascots show up,
there,
right?
There you go. That's right.
I had no idea that Ruffin was surprising us here. Listen, and I would put the mascot on the air, but the mascot doesn't talk.
We are one of the three baddest birds in Baltimore.
There you go.
You have the Eagles, the Orioles, and the Ravens. All right, that's how we do it in this city.
See, I never know how these shows are going to go. And, you know, Robin sends me a note and says, you know, what are you going to talk about? So I live out in the woods now, right? And I went to Dundalk High, all right? And I am a Hall of Famer at Dundalk High. I'm very proud of that. The Dundalk Owls.
There you go.
And I can tell you that I knew nothing about owls until I moved out to the country. And in the middle of the night, I hear, whoo, whoo. And I'm like, And I start talking about owls and looking up as owls are ferocious.
Yeah, they are.
They are ferocious. They are. And I had no idea, because I always thought little hoot owls, they were smart and, you know, whatever. And I didn't know. But eagles are a different breed, man. We got eagles up by McFall's Ironside Tavern, right up above where I live off Loch Raven. Yep. And there were nests of eagles up there training the little ones to fly. Right. Be a proud eagle.
Listen,
man.
We are top of the food chain.
Right.
That's right.
I know you are. Did the Philadelphia Eagles win, too?
Yeah,
they
yes,
won,
we
too.
Did. Oh, yeah,
Eagles,
yeah.
No.
Yes, there you go.
See,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Fang brings you Philly guys down here.
There you go.
And that
Eagles.
Blood comes with you, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go back with Coppin State, and I found these pictures of me with Fang and all the players from the special team, 90, yes. 97, 98, that era.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, I've known you from the beginning, and this whole thing. And Juan was here, and we had Juan. But you coming back, this is a real homecoming. I mean, you told me you had plans for this university last time we got together. Tell me about this relationship, because we're going to talk some basketball, and then we're going to talk about the university in the second segment.
Well, listen, it is an honor to be here, first of all, with you, and continue success on all the great things that you have going on.
25 years, I got a cupcake and everything.
25 great years, and we're wishing you 75 more. All right. I didn't say 100.
I'm just trying to get through the winter.
Round it out to
I'm just
100.
Trying to get through the World Series and the Super Bowl. That's all I'm trying to do.
Well, listen, it is a pleasure to be here with you, but a pleasure also here to be with my head coach. You know, Larry Stewart is he is bringing energy back to Coppin basketball. He is truly the right individual at the right time for what we are doing at Coppin. It is a phenomenal time to be an Eagle. It is a phenomenal time to be at Coppin State University. And Larry just brings another component to that. You know, this guy, as you indicated, you know, he was a cornerstone to Coppin's greatest moments. And so when we look at from a historical context, our conference championships, our run in the NCAA tournament, the biggest upset in, you know, NCAA history, the biggest upset among HBCUs in the Big Dance, this guy was a part of all those things. And so we have an opportunity now, as you talked about, a homecoming. Coach is coming home. We're going to run this thing back. And I'm excited about the foundation that he's building for our basketball program. It is about chess and not checkers. We're going to win under Coach, but we're also going to build a signature program that gets us back to where we were as a threat in D1 basketball.
Stu, back in the 80s, I got sent by Jack Gibbons when I worked at the Evening Sun. You know, up to North Avenue, I'm a Dundalk kid, sniffing, I'm trying to find the gym.
Yes.
And the gym's about the size of Fadley's, right? Yes. Like, literally, you could touch the ceiling, most of you guys, in that old gym. Tell me about the first time you saw the new gym, and, like, maybe your role or part of that. As an alum, just in general, Because the first time I came over 10 years ago, saw what you guys had built over there, and we've swabbed, and we've done all these things with you guys over the course of time. But I think people, when they go in and see the gym, they're like, man, this place has arrived or arrived at some point. But for you, you were here before any of that existed.
Yeah, it's just exciting to see. You know, again, you know, when I got recruited to come to Kaplan, there was no gym.
Right.
And so we played our basketball games at the Community College of Baltimore. And so to see where we are now, you know, just, you know, 15, 20 years later, it's just amazing to see the growth that the university is going through.
All right. Well, I am having a little tech problem on my headset, but you guys all right?
You're here.
No, we're all having tech problems. All right.
Can't hear.
I will. Now we're working. Good, good, good. Okay. So for you taking the gig and being a part of this, give me the last year of both of your lives, because it's been about a year and a half since you and I got together. We were trying to get out of plague together.
That's correct.
We were over at State Fair.
Yep.
And you're trying to get kids back on campus, and we had virtual. We had all of these things. Stu and I were together right before you came, and I said, doesn't it feel nice to be normal? It's like a Friday in September. I feel like I need a sweater. Kids are in school. There's traffic. It was traffic getting down. It felt normal again. But this last year for both of you and making this transition and what you want the basketball program, what you want the whole athletic program to be, this was a coming out party for to bring an alum back. I think it's gotten everybody's attention who's ever heard of Kaplan that you're back.
Yeah. You know, this past year has been very exciting. You know, it's exciting to be back to a place that helped me grow. You know, it's exciting to see the excitement that's on campus. It's exciting to see the excitement in the eyes of, you know, of the players. You know, they're coming in, working hard, and they're excited for this upcoming year. And we're just looking forward to just running it back.
Well, for you this time of year, kids back in class, and I guess the energy on the campus, I mean, that must change. When you're there in the summer,
oh, yeah,
and just
yeah.
looking out and seeing nothing yeah. and then seeing the vibrancy, it's like the beach in summer, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know summers are not what they used to be in higher education. You know, it used to be that summers were kind of a downtime. Mm-hmm. Now, summers are just as busy as fall and spring.
Really?
Yeah, you have summer school. Once you finish the spring semester, commencement is, you go into summer school, you got athletic camps. You got new student orientations. You got all of these things. You got STEM camps.
No quiet days.
No quiet
days. Fourth
of July. But it doesn't compare to the start of the fall semester.
Yes.
When your incoming students come to you for the first time, your returning students are coming back to you. It is an exciting time. And so, you know, we are just thrilled with the energy that we have on campus right now. And it has been building. We came out of the pandemic, and we were trying to make sure that we could continue to expand access, help new students come to Kaplan, and our continuing students finish. And that's what we've been able to do very well. But a part of the excitement is that students are ready to get back and get engaged. Mm-hmm. And our men's basketball and women's basketball programs, which are our capstone sports, they play a huge part in that, right? They are excited to see what coach is going to put on the floor this season. And coach is being modest, you know,
He's too tall to be modest.
No, you know, in the old gym where they used to pack it and it was a, you know, sweat box, right? We have today the best basketball arena in the MEAC, hands down, bar none. No one can touch it.
Yes.
That's the house that this man helped build, right? Because that momentum coming out of the late 90s into the 2000s and moving forward, those are things that people still talk about. Mm-hmm. I was on the airplane, and this was last year, right after the height of COVID had fallen. I was traveling. I had to travel. And I always wear Kaplan gear when I'm on a flight or walking through airport because, look, Kaplan looks good, right? So I have no other choice than to look good.
It does look good.
And I was on the flight, and there was a gentleman sitting next to me, and we were talking. He just started talking about basketball. And he said, Kaplan, I know Kaplan State. I said, yeah, you know, we're in Baltimore, Maryland, you know, incredible institution. He said, you know, back in the 90s, they had a run, and they upset the University of South Carolina. I said, yes, we did.
Set Pittsburgh aflame
right
that night.
That's
man,
right.
In the igloo.
And this gentleman then said, I went to the University of South Carolina. And I still haven't gotten over that, right? But that's
it's like saying UMBC to the Virginia people.
That's right.
They don't like
right.
that,
yes. You know. But, yes. but that's the type of legacy that coach has helped implement at the university. And so him coming back, people feed off that. Alums feed off that. right? That's why they are going to pack the nest in support of Coach. And Coach doesn't know that I'm about to do this, but let me say this to Eagle Nation out there, to all of our friends and supporters. September 21st is Coach's birthday. All right? You want to give Coach a great birthday gift for the whole year? Pack the nest every home game. Show up, support this man, and support our student athletes. That's what I'm asking Eagle Nation to do day in and day out.
I love that you call it the nest, because I'm going to be at the other nest at the convention center tonight. they have a new location, the convention center, overlooking the stadium that they're trying to get folks down for the playoff games, and they called it the nest. They named it after me, right? So I appreciate you naming your arena. Everything's getting named after me lately. I don't know what it is. It must be the Owls and the Eagles and the Orioles and the Ravens. It's your year. Bird thing here. I tell you what, we're at Fadley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Damie's now on the scene. That means the fried oysters are going to start coming and shrimp. They feed me down here at Lexington Market. Dr. Anthony Jenkins here from Coppin State, as well as Stu, head coach Larry Stewart. Fang and what's left behind in this legacy. I want you to talk a little bit about the last 20 years of your life and carrying Coppin where you go, right? I mean, say, oh, yeah, I remember that team. And you played the NBA for. But when you come back to Coppin, it's so much different than it was. I mean, I've been doing this 40 years, so I remember I get Fang on a, you know. So I call him because I have somebody at the paper, they'd say, hey, Coppin beat somebody on the road down NCAT. Find Fang. So I'd have to find SID, call the hotel, ring the hotel room 11 o'clock at night because we didn't have a reporter on the scene. I was waiting for you to call me. We won. You only call me when we won. I think Ruffin sounds a little bit like... But Fang, you know... I mean, I spent so much time with Fang that I can imitate him.
Yes.
But you too, right?
Yes.
What was left behind by all the years? And you know, we all know sometimes the glass was half full with Fang. Sometimes it was half empty because he was always fighting an uphill battle, right? Yes. I mean, literally, it was always... It feels like maybe you're not going downhill here, but it feels like a different thing than what Fang had to go through 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, Fang had to be Fang. If he wasn't who he was, then we would not have had the success that we had. And, you know, a lot of us owe a lot to him for giving us the opportunity to, you know, not only get an education, but to play the game that we love. And so, things are totally different now. You know, for him, like I said, he had to be who he was, you know, in order for us to accomplish what we had to accomplish.
It changed your life, right?
It changed my life. You know, it wasn't for him and the hard work and the things that he put us through in those, you know, 3 to 4 hour practices each and every day. You know, there's no way I was going to be able to, you know, walk into an NBA training camp and, you know, make the team and do the things that I did. You know, I ended up, you know, a lot of people may not understand or know my story, but I literally only played 2 years of high school basketball. I played 3 years of college basketball, and I was able to turn that into an 18-year professional career. And a lot of it, you know, is due to a lot of people that I, you know, mentored me back in Philadelphia, but also a lot of it has to do with Coach Fang and the things that he installed in me. You know,
first time you met him, he come in your house or did you see him in the gym? Or...
No.
I think you remember the first time you meet Fang.
Oh, most definitely. The first time that I met Coach Fang was on my visit. He was really good friends with a mentor of mine who through the Sunny Hill League, John Harnett. John Harnett literally put 4 to 5 of us in the car. We came down 95. We went over to BCCC. We watched them play. We watched Phil Booth play. We watched Derek Orgenham play. Literally after the game, I met Coach Fang, met Coach Derek Brown. Coach John Harnett said, Larry, this is where you're going to college. We got back on the road, and next thing you know, I was down here in August. Literally, that's how it went.
Any thought in the world that you'd be the head coach of the team one day in this beautiful gym? And, you know.
No, it's something that, you know, I've been working towards. And, you know, I say all the time, God is good. He's blessed me with a lot of different things. And so, you know, I just kept my head down. And, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, this is home for me. And, you know, why wouldn't I want to be here, you know, to help these young men, you know, teach and grow and help them, you know, to try to reach their dreams and do some of the things that I did. And so it's always been in the forefront of my mind, you know, that I wanted to be a head coach, number one, but I also wanted to be the head coach at my alma mater because, you know, it done so much for me.
I think you're part of mentoring, whatever, on campus, you see something of yourself in young people. I think sure. as you get older, certainly for me in hiring and trying to bring people to do radio, and do you say, oh, that I remember being like that. Yeah. I would think on with what you've done and the journey you've been on, seeing these young people, you see a little bit of yourself in that.
Oh, most definitely. You see flashes in each and every one of them. You know, it's just an exciting time to see it in their eyes and see the hopes and the, you know, of them being able to accomplish their dreams. And, you know, I also want to, you know, just say that, you know, my staff, you know, is all Coppin. And so, you know, I wanted to surround the players with nothing but the history of Coppin. You know, each and every one of us have been successful at our own times during our tenures here at Coppin. And so I wanted to surround them with much support as I possibly could.
It's been a little while, 25 years. A guy gets on a plane and remembers. I wish that Pete, the Texas people were, you know, offended as well. I mean, it would have been twice as good to make them angry at that point.
They should have won that game.
Yeah,
but
they got lucky.
You know,
yeah,
you mentioned history and with young people, these kids are born in this century. They don't have any, you know, so finding that history for the university. And I know what you're trying to do overall with education and bringing, recruiting anyone to the university in any way is to say, hey, we're the little engine that could, right? Yeah. And we are.
Yeah, listen, when I arrived at Coppin, you know, one of the things that I said, one of several things, is that we were going to introduce and reintroduce Coppin State University. We were going to introduce ourselves to those who didn't know us, and there are some out there who don't know us. And then we were going to reintroduce ourselves to those that have an outdated understanding or perception of Coppin
State
gym, University.
Like me, right? Yeah, exactly.
Coppin State.
Right.
We are a small university that offer our students a large university experience. And we are very excited about that. And, you know, one of the things that when we talk about our rich storied history, I want Coach and the fans and you know, everyone to understand is that I don't want Coach to go and try and chase what they did yesterday, mm-hmm. right? This is his team. I want him to build it the way he wants to build it, right? I don't want him to compare himself to Fang or anyone else. He's at the helm now. And so he has my full support and our entire athletic department and making sure that he builds the team and the legacy that he wants to build. A part of that happened then is a part of his fabric. It is a part of who he is. He will always feed off that. But I don't want him to go and chase yesterday. I want him to plow ahead and make history and build a legacy that he's proud of. So that at the end of the day, where Fang's name is on our floor now, Stu's name may be somewhere else. Who knows? But that is what the opportunity is out in front of him. And along that journey, he's going to transform a lot of young men's lives. Because not only do we have the highest six-year graduation rate for our student-athletes of anyone in the MEAC at 89%. That's better than Howard. That's better than Morgan. That's better than UMES. That's better than Norfolk. That's better than Delaware State. That's better than South Carolina State. That's better than North Carolina State.
You're graduating kids there.
All right? We are graduating scholars. Mm-hmm. Because we understand everybody may not play in the NBA. Everybody may not slam overseas. So we are preparing them for the rest of their lives. And that's what a quality education is all about. And Stu plays a significant part in that because it's just not always about the academics. It's about the mentorship and the fatherhood. And this is what a coach of quality brings. And I know Stu's going to do that for our young men.
You know, last year I was fortunate enough to get invited to Cal Ripken Senior's event that he has with Jay Billis is a part of it, mm-hmm. Scott Van Pelt, Gary Williams is a part of it. They bring coaches down. The coach came down from Villanova. Jay was here as well last year. Just talking about NIL, and then I heard Gary Williams talk again about 6 months later at a networking event and just saying guardrails and where we are. I mean, from a president of a university and a head coach, from where it was 5 years ago and what it had been for 50 years prior to that, to understanding, I don't understand it. Literally, as a fan and as someone that's watched sports forever, I know it's changing things. I know it changes what college football looks like for me on weekends. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. For your sport, and certainly for mid-major MEAC, where you're trying to put more teams into the tournament, get more funding, more money, all of that, how do does it affect a 17-year-old kid and his parents to say it's the Wild Wild West now? Because it feels like the Wild Wild West from where we were 3 years ago.
Well, I mean, for us and where we stand, I mean, it hasn't trickled down to us yet, but it is coming. You know, it's coming for sure. And so, you know, I when I go out and recruit, I just let them know that, you know, it hasn't really hit where we stand right now, but it's coming in the near future for sure. I really don't understand it. I'm not really a big fan of it, but I understand this is where we are in today's world. And so, you know, again, it hasn't trickled down to the low major schools yet, but I do feel it coming in the near future.
What I'm seeing is it's not just a basketball thing or a football thing.
Sure.
It's really a social media celebrity influencer thing to if you had the right gymnast on a team or the right softball player or the right bowler even. Yeah. If you have a bowling break. I mean, I've had all of your coaches on over the course of time. I mean, anything that would link to being valued, that somebody would want to hire you, right?
You know, so I used to sit on the NCAA President's Council, and we used to talk about this quite frequently. This generation really ushered this in. Now, it was started some time ago, right, with the whole...
Well, the Ed O'Bannon thing kind of started everything.
So that's what started the tsunami moving. This generation and the popularity of YouTube and all of these young influencers, those things just sped it up. And so the NCAA tried to get out in front of it, but it had already passed us by. Right. And so we were slow to they were slow to respond. And so now we are in a situation where we're still trying to grapple with and get our arms around what does this NIL thing really look like at multiple levels.
Sure. I talked to the Towson people for all of you.
Yeah.
Because you're all recruiting sort of kind of in the same way and the same kids in the same schools and whatever they believe. You know. Once you get that into a 17-year-old or parents' mind that my kid's going to get $100,000 and go to college, right?
Well,
that's a whole different platform.
It is, and I think that what we still have is we still have some parents and some young people with the understanding that hey, where my child goes to school may not afford them that. I don't even if it's Alabama or Coppin, not everybody is going to get a big NIL deal. Understanding that in many situations, you'll have one or two superstars who could bring everybody else along. In fact, I actually liken it to the old commercial when I was small. I remember seeing this actual commercial with Dan Marino. And he used to do isotone gloves. All right. And there was one commercial where he brought his entire offensive line, right? And he basically said, I got them a gift because they've been a gift to me all year. And he got them gloves, basically saying he's been in good hands all year. Without Dan Marino, those guys would have never been in that commercial, would have never made any money. They would have never been brought along. So at some institutions, whether it's the star quarterback or the star point guard or the star forward, like at LSU, right, they can bring the whole team along even if the rest of the team are not bona fide superstars in the way that they are. So NLI is changing the game in multiple ways. It's just not about I can recruit you, get this deal, you can make money if you come play for me. But it's also about, hey, you got that superstar player on your team. I could benefit from that. So all of those pieces are in the mix when coaches and ADs and students and families are looking at where my son or daughter is going to play their next level of sports. It is a complicated situation, and we are building the plane, fueling it, and all of those things simultaneously. And you see young men and women with everything from a local car dealership commercial deal where they may make $10,000 to someone,
Faithy's giving free crab cake.
Right. Yeah. You know, giving out free crab cakes to doing gym wear, making $1 million a year. It is a very interesting time to be a student athlete at the collegiate level.
I think I've admitted this to both of you privately, maybe not on the air, but all the pictures I have from 1998 it was 98 was the year, right? That you guys won? Was there 97?
That was
97. Yes. So 1997, I had Fang won, you guys all won, and we had the whole team come out to the studio. So I have pictures of all this, and we're eating pizza in the studio, And I say that's a picture of all of us breaking the rules. Because
yes.
I ordered $12 in pizza, and I fed it to 19-year-old kids, and I was literally breaking the rules. That's crazy, right? Yes. Like, when you think about it. And where we are now. And by the way, he slid that LSU thing in, and I'm not working with notes here. Are we ready to talk about this, the big story about the home game and the ladies' side? Are we going to talk about that or no?
Oh, you mean the big upset that's coming?
That thing that you were talking about, where Eagles beat Tigers?
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Tell me about, what making banging pots and pans and having one event that everybody knows where your gym is, finds their way over. We had Steph Curry here a couple weeks ago. When there is that kind of thing, I mean, I remember when LeBron played over at Morgan one day, right? You guys are doing something here that's going to be sort of unprecedented, right? We have a real star from Baltimore in the game. Not in the men's game, but in the women's game.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is historic, right? No national champion has ever traveled to an HBCU to play a home game on that HBCU turf. Yes, it is special because, Miss Reese, Angel Reese is coming back and so forth. But look, that day, she's a basketball player.
She's the enemy that day.
That's right. She can sign autographs any other time. But, we're excited because I think it's a great opportunity to elevate, again, women basketball, right, in a different perspective.
How does this happen?
Well,
how did it all come together?
Well,
she wanted to play here.
Well, our athletic director and their athletic director had conversations. Our head coaches had conversations, and so again, it was about what can we do to honor her and her success. She's from Baltimore. How do we get her and LSU to play Coppin? And Coppin going there was not something that we were really interested in, right? We felt we could have a bigger splash for her and for LSU for us if they came here. And so that's really what the actual thought process was. And then they started making the sausage, which I know nothing about, all the actual details.
Student knows all about that, making games, right?
Yes. But let me
that's let the me hardest part
this.
Of the job.
It
hardest
is,
part.
But Stu would also agree that Coppin is no stranger to playing big time talent. We've beaten big time talent.
That was Fang's game.
I mean, whether it was Maryland, whether it's Georgetown, whether it's University of South Carolina, Coppin has a record of beating big institutions that very few can match. Right. So this is just another chapter in our history of taking on a giant, right, in some people's eyes. Like I tell my team, I was talking to the coaches, listen, the rim is 10 feet off the floor in Baltimore like it is at LSU, right? The court's the same size, right? That doesn't change. What changes is, are you prepared to take on the opponent that's in front of you? That's the only difference. They dribble just like you dribble. Mm-hmm. They shoot threes, you shoot threes, right? It's about discipline, game plan, and being in that moment. And I think that our ladies are going to be really ready for this opportunity.
You want that opportunity, right?
Almost definitely.
You want to play the best.
This is what you live for. This is what you practice each and every day for. And it's when you're going in these type of games, it's just a mindset. You have to be locked into, the things that your coach and the things that your team has been doing up to that point. It's just a mindset. Like Dr. Jenkins said, it's a basketball game. They got to do the same things you got to do. And so, you come in there with the mindset and have the confidence and you believe in each other, anything is possible.
I remember when Stu came down to my studio at the Lord Baltimore back, I was on 1360 back in the 90s,
yes.
So with Fang Mitchell. Larry Stewart is here. He is new head coach of Coppin State. They are our partner. We're celebrating 10 years of partnership and a flagship with Coppin State, and that game will be on AM 1570. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Dr. Anthony Jenkins also down here with us. We are also sponsored by Window Nation, 86690 Nation. We'll give them a shout out as well. And newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube, for all that we're doing here. It's also our 25th anniversary. Basketball team, tell me what you got. I got to get you a... You said 9:30, got practice, and I tell you what, you screw the coach up on practice time. They fine you for that over there, right?
Yeah, they fine you over
there
for that.
That's right.
So I got to get you there on time. So tell me about your team.
No, just an exciting team. We have a lot of different weapons, a lot of guys who can do multiple different things on the court. You know, have a mixture of some older guys, but a lot of newer guys, and so just trying to get them to blend and be together. But you know, it's going to be an exciting time. You know, guys are bought in, they're excited. You know, they're starting to believe in each other. They're starting to believe in the things that we're saying to them, and so just looking forward to just running it back this year.
You look like you're in shape. You're getting out there mixing it up still.
Yeah, you know, it's just in my nature, man. You know, I'm up every morning 5:30. You know, doing the same things, getting that same workout in that I always do, and so I'm just used to being this way.
Stepping outside, still hitting threes, maybe
sometimes. I do every now and then, but I don't want to show off too much. You know, I got to keep the confidence level high for the guys.
He can play.
I love it. I watched some of the film. I know
he can play. No doubt about it. All right, he's going to be coaching him up. Dr. Jenkins is going to stay with us. We're at Fadley's. We're really, really appreciative to everybody. We're going to be at Coco's next Thursday. Got some great guests lined up. Rasika's coming by. My old pal John Morgan, who wrote the book on the Ravens stadium getting built 25 years ago and financing, wrote all the book on the Colts leaving and the Ravens coming. So he's going to be joining us at Coco. It's all brought to you by Maryland Lottery. I have the new Ravens scratch-offs. It's the very first ticket. It's 001. Ooh. Appreciation to Roz and John and Doug and everybody over at the Maryland Lottery. Roz is going to be on the show, too, next Thursday at Coco's. We are here at Fadley's. I smell crab cakes, shrimp salad.
Starting to smell it.
We're going to do fried oysters because it is the season. I saw crabs on the way back. The world-famous, legendary Fadley's. We're still in the old Lexington Market. Back for more with Coppin State President Dr. Anthony Jenkins. We're going to bid Stu adieu.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on anytime. I really appreciate it.
Adieu is our Wordle word. That's the five-letter
word.
That's the A-D-I-I-E. Yes. Well, you get all the vowels out, so I use adieu. That's our Wordle word.
Buy those season tickets.
Yes, get those season tickets.
When's the big game with Angel?
12-20-23. Eagles Tigers at
five
the PEC.
5 days before Christmas.
That's right.
Oh, the boys playing anything? No, the boys aren't playing.
No, we're off so that we can be in attendance to cheer on our Eagles.
Waving the towels.
There you go.
All right, I see blue and gold everywhere. Back for more. We're at Fadley. Stay with us. The doctor's going to stick it with us.